Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, this fifth Sunday in Easter, to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want you to know that we are glad that you are here, especially if you are visiting with us this morning. Please take the time to fill out the little white card and in the pew in front of you and place it in the collection plate as it makes its way around. Just a couple of announcements. Please note that we will be having, we have our Bible study on Wednesday nights from beginning at 6:30. So please come, feel free to come by and participate in that. We have usually have a wonderful time, a good time. Not only do we read and study the Bible, but we even party from time to time. So please come by 6:30 on Wednesday nights. There are other things, of course, going on at Olney Church. Please take the time to read your bulletins and go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is going on at here at Olney Presbyterian Church. We will be moving from our sanctuary into the chapel in a couple of weeks. So please just make sure that you stay abreast of what is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the epistle of 1 John. We'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, and it is found on page 1067 of your pew Bibles. So let us at this time listen to God's word for us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. It's the word of the Lord. We're reminded that we gather every Sunday, not so much to be concerned about ourselves or to learn something about ourselves or to receive something about ourselves, but we gather every Sunday to hear something about God, to learn something about God, to be reminded about God. It's always about God. And there are, of course, lots of things that we can say about God this morning. A lot of things that we can talk about when it comes to talking about God. A lot of attributes that we might lift up when we are worshiping God and praising God and talking about God. We can, for instance, talk about God's sovereign power. We've done a little bit of that this morning. We've talked about God's majesty. We talked about God's glory. We talked about the fact that God is a powerful God, a mighty God, a God who can overcome any barrier or obstacle. God is a sovereign God. God is the God that sets above the circle of the world. God Almighty. We could talk about God's righteousness or justice. God is a righteous God, a just God. And that's what God requires of all of us as well, righteousness, including social righteousness, or as some would call it, social justice. That's one of the things I often like to talk about when I talk about God, God's righteousness, God's justice. God is a righteous God. We can talk about God's holiness. God is a holy God. All of these things are important, important to stress. But according to the author of 1 John, the most important thing that we can say about God is not just that God is a powerful God. John doesn't say very much about that. Not just that God is a righteous God, but the most important thing that we can say about God, according to 1 John, is that God is a loving God. In fact, the whole book of 1 John seems to go over and over and over that point. John says it many different times, that God is about love. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God, a caring God, a forgiving God. God is a loving God. In fact, John doesn't just say that God is a loving God. He says that that is who God is. God is love. I know we all know that. We're all familiar with that. We learn that at an early age. We learn that from the time that we are in Sunday school, from the time that we first become familiar with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God is a loving God, but sometimes the more familiar we are with something, the more we seem not to know it. But that's what 1 John wants us to understand this morning, that God is love. Someone said once that the opposite of love is not hatred, but fear. And certainly we live in a world that has lots of fear, where people are sorely afraid, where people are afraid of all kinds of things. We live in a world that is racked with fear. And that's the way that many people in the ancient world especially approached the gods. Many pagan people approached the gods. They approached them with fear. And I'm not talking here about fear as awe or fear as reverence, but fear as dread, fear as terror. The gods, after all, were considered to be capricious. They were dangerous. They were easily angered. You had to be careful around the gods. You had to tiptoe around them carefully, constantly offering up to them sacrifices as ways to appease them and stay on their good side. And that's the way many Christians today see God. God is a great big stern potentate in the sky, constantly looking down, watching and waiting for us maybe to mess up so that God can get us, so that God can zap us. Occasionally on my social media feed, there are scenes from the popular television series a few years ago, The Sopranos, where Tony Sopranos, the big mafia don, everyone is afraid of him. You don't want to cross Tony Soprano because he could get you. And I think that's the way some people view God. God is a great big Tony Soprano in the sky, waiting for us to mess up so God could get us. But John says that's simply not the way God is at all. God is not someone that we have to be afraid of. God is not someone that we are called to tremble before. God is love. We need to be clear this morning about what John doesn't say. John doesn't say that love is God. You know, we very often try to define God by our understanding of love. And the problem is that we have no understanding of what real love is apart from God. When we talk about love, we're often talking about ourselves. When we talk about love, what we usually have in mind is a kind of gooey, sentimental, anything goes sort of feeling that doesn't mean very much. I think that's one of the reasons that people have a lot of unease whenever we start talking about love. 30 years ago, when I became a candidate for the ministry, I remember one of the things that I stated before the presbytery was my desire to talk about God's righteousness. But God placed it upon my heart that what God wanted me to talk about was God's love. God impressed upon me that people needed to hear that he was a loving God, to talk about his love. And I've noticed that over the years, in the 30 years that I've been in ministry, that whenever you start talking about God's love, that some people get a little bit apprehensive. Some people really don't want to hear it. They get a little squeamish, perhaps a little afraid, because they fear that maybe when you talk about God's love, that maybe somebody somewhere might get away with something. A couple of years back, I was in Starbucks having coffee. I was talking to a young man, a young youth minister, and we were talking about something I can't remember exactly, but the conversation turned to God's love, and he was a little bit uncomfortable with that. He was uncomfortable talking about God's love because what he wanted to hear about was God's righteousness. He wanted to hear about God's justice. He wanted to hear about God's commandments. He wanted to make sure that people adhered to God's commandments. He was uncomfortable with talking about God's love. Because again, he thought whenever we talk about God's love, what we have in mind is a kind of gooey, sentimental, anything goes sort of feeling that, again, usually doesn't amount to very much. But John doesn't say that love is God. John doesn't talk about God's love like that. You can't define God by beginning with our understanding of love, John says. John says, doesn't say that love is God. John says that God is love. We can only know what love is by beginning with God. And the God that we come to know is the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know what love is, we are reminded that we have to look at Jesus. And Jesus is not a gooey, sentimental, anything goes kind of love, but Jesus is the concrete expression of God's love in action. Jesus is what perfected love looks like in the midst of our world. And John tells us that perfect love casts out fear. I was talking to a couple I met the other day, real nice people, professional people. Neither of them were very religious. They had both grown up in a religious home, but they had long left that part of their lives behind. But he was more militantly anti-religious of the two of them. I asked him what he believed in, and he answered, nothing. I can be a good, decent person without having to believe in God. I can be a good, decent person without being religious. And indeed, that's probably true. Every indication was that he was a good person, a decent person. But implicit in his answer, I thought, was the assumption that many of us followers of Christ do what we do out of some sort of fear, because we fear God. We fear God, and so we try to live good moral lives in order to appease God. We fear God, and so we try to be religious again in order to appease God. But God is not about fear. God is about love. God is love. God is the love that has reached down into the midst of this world, not only to save us, but also to free us and empower us so that we might be agents of God's love in the midst of the world. All of us are here this morning, not because we are people of fear, but we are here because we are people who have been grasped by the awareness of God's love for us. We are here this morning because God first loved us. Someone said that we don't love God because we want God to save us. To be loved by God is already to be saved. We don't love God because we want to go to heaven. To be loved by God and to love God is already to experience a bit of heaven right here in the midst of this world, because that's who God is. God is love. But let's face it, I think we all know that there are some people, some Christians who seem to live lives more of fear than of love. There's some people who seem to be afraid of everything, afraid, uncertain about the future, uncertain about their own lives, uncertain about their own relationship with God, and they are hunkered down in fear. Whenever we're uncertain, whenever we're fearful, we become hunkered down even more in our fears, hunkered down in fear about the world, hunkered down in our fears of other people, even our fears of other Christians. But John reminds us that our love of God is manifest in our love for each other, especially our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. Because that's who God is. God is love. John says, how in the world can you love God if you don't love each other? How can we love God if we don't love our brothers and sisters? How can we love God if we don't love our neighbors? How can we love God who we have not seen if we don't love the people that we see right before us? If we don't love the people that we are in fellowship every day, how can we love God if we don't love our neighbors? When we love each other, we can be assured that we are abiding in God and that God is abiding in us, because that's who God is. God is love. In one of his novels, Frederick Buechner tells the story of a woman who was on her deathbed. And she keeps asking the pastor to tell her again and again that she's been forgiven. And the pastor does. He tells her, she's been forgiven. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. But the woman still refuses to believe it. She's lived a life that she's not terribly proud of. She had been engaged in adultery. There are people she can't look in the eye, and she just won't believe it. She needs to hear it again and again. And each time people tell her that she has been forgiven, she refuses to believe it, because she needs to hear it from God, God's self. You're not God, she keeps saying, even as she demands to be told that she is forgiven. You're not God. I want to be forgiven. I need to know that I'm forgiven. You have to wonder. Have to wonder what kind of God that she heard about in all of her life. Did she hear about the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you hear about the God who came into the midst of us to give himself for us? Did you hear about the God who came into the world not to condemn us, but to forgive us, not to condemn us, but to love us? Not to tell us how terrible we are, not to tell us how afraid we should be of God, but to assure us of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's forgiveness. She should have heard that. Somebody should have told her that. Somebody should have helped her to feel that. She should have felt it in the midst of the people that she worshiped with. She should have felt it from her fellow brothers and sisters. They should have told it to her, not simply by what they said, but they should have told it to her by the way that they interacted with her. They should have told it to her in 1,001 ways. In 1,001 ways, she should have known who God is, that God is love. And perfect love casts out fear. You don't have to fear. Because God is love. God loves you deeply. And in the Lord Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. You and I are called to be missionaries of that love in the midst of our world. In the midst of the world again, where everyone seems so hunkered down in fear. Everyone seems so afraid. And you turn to some of the people in the church, and we seem to propagate the fear. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about the end of the world and how Christians need to be hunkered down and afraid. But that's not what Jesus told us. That's not Jesus' example. Jesus didn't say to be afraid. Jesus said to love. He sent us out into the world to boldly love. You don't have to be afraid. You've been set free to love each other, to love just as God loves, to love just as Jesus loved. You've been set free and empowered to love perfectly. And so I would say to you this morning, little flock, what you already know because you live it out perfectly here, because you demonstrate it in the way you treat each other, that God is love. The love that we show each other here Sunday after Sunday, day after day, in the way that we respond to each other, the way we engage with each other, the way we pray for each other, the way we take care of each other, the way we see each other as brothers and sisters loved by God. God is love. And that's what the world needs to know most about God. Not just God's power, not just God's righteousness, but about God's love for each and every one of us, and indeed for the whole world. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come to you this morning giving thanks again for the power of your love in the midst of our world, for the power of your love that grasps each and every one of us. Lord, we're never sure when someone will become aware of the great love that you have for them. But you have called us, all of us as your people, to make that love manifest in the midst of our world. to make that love manifest, not just to the people who are close to us, but to make that love manifest to those who are even not close to us, to those who we might not think would be receptive to your love. Help us to help you grasp them with the love that you have for each and every one of us, because that is who you are. You are love. And that's what we are struggling to be as well. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.